I'm going to invite Chris up to the speak now and just to pray for him before he does. Chris is my boss's boss, I guess you would say, but he's also a friend of ours. And we really love these guys, and Deborah and Lydia and Jacob are here as well with them. Make sure you make them feel welcome afterwards. But I'll just pray for Chris as he comes to share with us. Father, thank you so much for this man. Thank you for what you've instilled in his heart. Thank you for his passion for the work that he does and his passion for you, God. I thank you that he loves you, Lord. He just wants to serve you in every way he can. I pray that as he comes to speak to us now, Lord, that it'll be your words on his heart, Lord, that you'll bless everything he says and that it'll be glorifying of you. So, Lord, be with him, place your Holy Spirit on him and guide him now and open our hearts to receive what there is for us. I pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Great. I'm going to take a drink first, get that out of the way. So you hear me all swallow. As Dan said, my name's Chris Couples, and I lead the work of CAP here in Northern Ireland. And I've been with CAP for 9 years, or it will be 9 years in May of 2010. It was 2010 that I started, so 9 years in May of this year. I'm married to Deborah, who's hiding. This is where I'll not point her out because she'll shout at me later. And we have two kids, Lydia, who's 4.5, and Jacob, who's 2.5. And it's always great when you go to another church and they go out and stay, and I can see that they've done that, so that's a good sign. And in 10 weeks, our third child is due on Brexit Day. So we may well have a Brexit baby, as Deborah said to me the other day, which is a good or bad thing, I don't really know. So yes, life is busy, it's full, it's great, as it is with young kids, and it's going to get even busier and fuller in weeks ahead. As I said, I started with CAP 9 years ago myself, and at that stage, I'm still part of Willowfield Church, which is my church in the east of the city of Belfast, and we, at that stage, had begun to see a real need in our community around poverty, around death, around these issues that you yourselves have seen only a few months before as a church, as you set up your debt centre with Brian back in 2010 as well, or 2009 it would have been actually. It's been an incredible journey, not just for me personally, but really over these last 10 years of CAP, as we this year celebrate 10 years of CAP working in Northern Ireland in partnership with many different churches. An incredible journey because we have grown at a significant rate over that period of time. Many churches have got behind this movement of God, have partnered together with us as we seek to serve the church through the work of Christians Against Poverty. It's been incredible because we've seen the pain and misery, and that might not sound incredible, but we've seen the truth of what people live in our communities, and we've been able to make a difference, as you've seen through that video of Edith, as you've heard through Dan sharing. It's been incredible because we've been able to actually see many people go debt-free, find hope and a freedom, find employment and a future. And that alone is great, but even more than that, we get to share this good news of Jesus Christ. And we've seen many, many people commit their lives, over 250 people over these last 10 years right across the country. So thank you for having me along this morning as we celebrate what God is doing, as we remind you, I guess, in many ways, and what you as a church are doing through the work of Christians Against Poverty. And I want to say a big thank you to you, because you were one of those early churches, I think the second or third along the way, that partnered with this, what that stage was kind of English charity, and said, no, we want to make a difference in the community that God has called us and placed us. And over that time, you have made an incredible difference. And the thing is, some of you will have been impacted yourselves, and that has been part of your story. But for many of you, you have just served and loved and got behind this. And I want to say thank you because it's not just about the work of CAP that you've been doing, but as a church, you have sought to serve this community in which you're placed. I want to thank John for leading you in that over many years and seeking to keep you focused on serving and loving the community in which God has placed you, to put their needs ahead of your own. And that, I think, is a great thing. And that we're going to unpack a little bit of that today. We're going to be talking about making space in our lives, in our thinking, in our treasure, whether that be our money or the things that we have, for those around us who are in poverty. So we want to look a little bit at God's word as we do that. Let's pray just before we start. Yeah, Father God, as we look at these verses, as we weave our way through Scripture, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you change our hearts? Would you remind us of our responsibility. And would you change our hearts wherever they are today? And Lord, would you lead us into action as we do that? In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to look at, firstly, kind of three areas of making space for the poor in our lives. One in our thinking and our theology, and we're going to spend a bit more on that one, so don't worry if that seems long. The next two will be shorter. Secondly, then, in our treasure, whether that be our income or the things that we own and have been blessed with. And thirdly, in our time and at our table. And I pray that your hearts would be moved this morning. And there's many ways that we can be moved. Might just be that we finish up this morning caring more about those in need with a better heart attitude towards those who are in poverty in our communities. It might be that we want to be more generous or be generous for the first time. We want to share what we have with those around us, whether here or around the world. And finally, and something many of us and many of you are already doing, but more of us can do, which is to act on behalf of those in need. To include people in our hospitality, to invite people in, to get involved and volunteer, as Deirdre said, and I'll talk a little bit more about later. So firstly, let's look at this idea of making space for the poor in our thinking and our theology. This is where I need to remember to click through. Great. God's love and compassion for the poor, and also his challenge to us to care for the marginalized and downtrodden. It's a constant thread weaved throughout Scripture, from the law to the prophets, from the Psalms to the Apostle Paul. God is constantly urging us and calling us to speak up for and to make space for those in poverty, people who are struggling to survive physically, emotionally, spiritually, with no voice, with no influence and with no power in the society that we live in. If we truly see how often this is mentioned throughout the Bible, it seems that we need constant reminding. Just like a parent, I think to myself, constantly reminding our kids of things. God knew that we would need constant instruction and reminding. Because actually, caring for people, putting their needs first, spending the money that we have been blessed with and giving up something that we might like is actually a hard and difficult path at times. But we can only do the right things if we think the right things. Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And I pray that this morning that our minds would be renewed as we maybe remind ourselves of some of these key scriptures or even hear them for the first time. We may think we know the reason that Sodom, or God was so displeased with Sodom, but Ezekiel shines a different light on it. Ezekiel 16, verse 49, you can follow on the screens as well. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. You're kind of thinking, I've come to church, I don't want to be challenged. Well, we're going to be challenged this morning. That's a hard challenge that Ezekiel spoke on. And it's a challenge for us today. If we don't help the poor and needy, we're in danger of being arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. Do you know, as I think of myself and my own life, often, and especially at Christmas, I was definitely overfed. Too often, truthfully, if I'm being honest, I'm unconcerned when I should be concerned about those in need around us. And I don't like to admit this one, but I'm arrogant in my thinking. It might not always show outwardly, but if we ask ourselves truly, we can be like that. The Psalms, the Proverbs, the prophets, they constantly inspire us and challenge us to care for the poor. Defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, Psalm 82. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. Proverbs 21. And this theme then is carried on in Isaiah 58, when God says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect to be heard on high. Let me just explain this a little bit. The Israelites were not living lives that reflected God's heart of compassion and care for the poor. So their praying, their quiet times, their fasting were all ignored. God says, this is what I really want you to do. This is what believing in me looks like. Do this, then I will listen to you. And then it says this in Isaiah 58, 6-7. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. It starts with our heart. It starts with how we respond. Maybe we're people that look at the news and maybe we even read the Daily Mail or the Sun or the Mirror, and we read these stories of people who are called benefit cheats or others, and actually our hearts begin to harden. God calls us a different way. He urges us to take a different path, to have hearts of compassion and care. It should come as no surprise as well that Jesus, as he started his ministry, read these really well-known verses from Isaiah 61. This was his inaugural speech in many ways. All what his mission and purpose would be about. I love these verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And for us, as his children, as his followers, we need to ask ourselves that tough question. Is his mission our mission? Is his mission our mission? Is the purpose of his life the purpose of our lives? To proclaim good news to the poor, because it's simply not enough to pray, to come to church, to do the right things without caring for and looking after those in need around us, whatever that need looks like. As James says, in James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. See, the widows and the orphans were the poor of their day. And we've heard a little bit already this morning, debt grips people's lives and it causes real poverty and misery. Unemployment grips people's lives and it causes real misery. It causes isolation and loneliness. The work that you do through your food bank and through the manna store as well helps to overcome some of those really challenging situations for people. So I want to challenge us. Let's make sure that we get our thinking right, our heart right, our attitude right. And if we're all being honest, we don't always get that right. There's been an opportunity later on just to respond in different ways. And one of the ways I think all of us need to respond is just by asking God to change our hearts, to change our attitude, to make them more an attitude of caring. Great. So secondly, I want to talk about making space for the poor in your treasure. This is where it gets kind of increasingly difficult as we share this morning as well. Firstly, it's our mind. Secondly, in our treasure. See, when God was setting out the law for how his people should live, he made it very clear that he wanted people to make space for the poor and their treasure and their income and all that we own. And that is very much true for us today as well. Let's look at these verses from Leviticus 19, 9 to 10. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over the vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them to the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Now, a little bit of background. God was speaking these verses into an agricultural society. If people owned land, they would be growing food on it. They might have corn or vineyards at that time. So God was trying to speak in a way that was relevant to them, that they could understand how they could do this. For these farmers, their produce was their income. They would have kept some for themselves and their families, and they would have sold most of the rest of what they had. Now, today, the majority of us aren't farmers. Don't know if we have any here. No hands up. But the principle is still the same. So let's just think of this for us and for today, that God is basically saying this. Don't keep or consume all your produce. Don't keep all your wealth or your income for yourself. Don't go right to the edge of your financial field, reaping it all for yourself and spending it even before you've earned it. Leave some spaces at the edge of all we have, of all we earn, for those in need. I'm not going to ask you to answer this out loud because it could be difficult for us, but I wonder what out of your total income have you left for those in need? It's a tough question if we truly ask ourselves. We're called to make space in our treasure. And truthfully, we often treasure the money or income that which we have. Make sure that you have a plan in place. And for many people, maybe you don't. And that's okay, because we're still early enough on that you can add another resolution on in this new year to go and build a budget, to go and put a plan in place to better manage your money and plan out how you do this. I was just talking to Dan earlier on, and you guys, I know, run the Cap Money course. There'll be opportunities throughout this year to come along on one of those to find out how to build a budget, to put in place these principles practically. See, God wants a certain behavior. He wants us to care for the poor. It needs to start with our heart, but we also need to put systems and plans in place to leave a certain amount of what we have to care for those in need. I've heard some amazing stories of people who go around, they have a money pocket. And truth, I've never actually tried this, but maybe I should now I'm talking about it. And they put a little bit of money in their pocket and they just say, God, use it. Just use it. Ask me, and God shows up and he begins to challenge and say, that person needs that, or why don't you give that to that person? It might simply be that. It might be setting up a direct debit to the work of the church here. It might be giving to the food bank. Lots of ways that we can do that. However small or big, we each can do something. See, we have direct debits. We have online banking. We have banking apps. We can do this differently now in our society today just by taking a bit of time to think about it, by planning it and preparing it, if we budget, if we plan and prioritize. So we need to make space in our treasure as well. Thirdly, then, make space for the poor in our time and around our table. So we're thinking about our thinking, we're thinking about our treasure. Is that enough? I think for many of us, that's maybe where we've stopped. But actually making space in our time and inviting people into our lives and into our homes is probably the more challenging area, in truth, in what is now a time-poor, busy society. But true love and compassion calls and demands that we respond in action, just as we see in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan not only gave his money and income to help this poor, beaten-up guy who was at the side of the road, he also got involved. He gave up his time. He was on a business trip. Guessing a little bit here, go with me. He had places to go, people to see. He was a busy man, but he was prepared to be delayed. He's prepared to get involved in the mess of somebody else's life. He bandaged up the man. He put him on his own donkey, which probably meant that that was a slower trip for him as he followed this man along and cared for him. He gave him food and he made sure he had enough. And Jesus calls us to make space for the poor at our table. Luke 14, verse 12, and Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus is quite clear that we aren't simply to be friends with people that we want to be friends with or only ever invite our friends into our homes for dinner, for lunch. Or maybe those around us who have a home and are blessed and actually can put on food for others. No, we're meant to include those around us who maybe would struggle to otherwise feed their family on a Sunday or multiple times throughout the week. What if you don't really know anyone in poverty? What if you don't know or you haven't connected with some of the ministries that you do as a church before? Well, this is where your compassion ministries step in. This is where the work of CAP steps in. See, running a CAP service, one of the many reasons that you as a church do this is that you are connected to the brokenness, the poverty that is around you as a church in Newton Abbey and right across North Belfast. People who are hurting, who are broken, who just need to hear and know God's love. Mums in Newton Abbey have had to look their children in the eyes and say, there's nothing for dinner today. 2/3 of our families miss meals before CAP's help, before your church steps in. 2/3 of the families are struggling to get by. people who feel written off and hopeless about being members, about being out of work, feeling useless, embarrassed, as Deirdre mentioned earlier. Our job club members have been out of work on average for 2.5 years. I've never been out of work longer than a few weeks at a time, and that can be stressful, but 2.5 years of not having an income and a work and knowing what to do or having a purpose, it can be soul-destroying. Dads who are waking up in the morning bleary-eyed, already knowing that today will be like all the others, held captive by that destructive habit, even though it's tearing their family apart. 1 in 7 people drink more than they should. And today, sadly, as we heard from Edith in the video, people will be considering suicide because they can't see another way out of their debt situation. They don't think that it is worth living anymore. A shocking 38% of our clients said that they thought about suicide as the only way out of debt before the church and CAP stepped in. We, at Christians Against Poverty, are here to serve the church, enabling the local church to be the answer of some of the biggest causes of poverty in society today. We do that through 600 church-based centres, 43 here in Northern Ireland. For people who are crushed under the weight of debt, our debt centres lift that burden. As Dan said, him and Brian go out and visit people in their own homes. They take the paperwork. They go in with volunteers who care for and listen. And many of you over the years have been involved in that way. And there'll be an opportunity at the end of today for you to go up and speak to any of us on the team to say, look, I'd like to get involved. Please tell me how I can help. They go in, they take the paperwork, they begin to give hope. They work with our teams in head office and begin to put a plan in place. And we see that debt cleared. We negotiate with creditors. We've got an amazing relationship. If you ever watch ITV or Martin Lewis show, you'll often hear him talking about Christians Against Poverty because we've become well known for the work that we do and how well we are able to work with people in unmanageable debt. 2,500 people go debt-free every single year. £3 million is either paid off or written off every single month. And 93% of our clients who go debt-free are staying debt-free. This business is difficult. It's messy. It's often the last place where the church wants to be, but it's the first place the church should be. And then there's those people who've been written off and out of work for years, as we heard. As they come in on a Thursday into your halls, 2 weeks' time, Thursday, 31st of January at 10 a.m., and maybe that's you today. You feel written off, or you've got a family member and they've been out of work for years and they've given up hope. Give the job club a chance. What these guys do practically through the course is great, but what they do is they come in and they show love and care and compassion. It's so much greater than any course. As they build a community of other people, as they work through and listen and care and help people find employment, and as we've heard many, many people over the last number of years. And in all of that, we want to share good news to those in need. What does that look like? Well, we offer to pray with people. We invite people along to church, to Alpha courses. We share what it means to be a Christian ourselves. All of our CAP workers right across the UK, right across Northern Ireland, and here in your church will be doing this because we truly see and know that transformation comes when we follow Jesus in our lives, when that gap in our lives is filled knowing and following Jesus and becoming a true disciple. And the church is the only place, I believe, that has the answer in Jesus. We at Christians Against Poverty are here to serve you and support you in the practical way. Last year, we celebrated 886 people right across the UK, over 67 here in Northern Ireland, making that decision to respond to Jesus. And that's only the first step. We love to celebrate and count that step, but that's where you guys come in. As you welcome people in, as you care for them, as you tell them what it is to follow Jesus, and you disciple those around you. Great. It's okay, Dan, I'll buy a new banner. Brilliant. If you were asleep, you're definitely not now, which is great. So look, as I finish up, there's a number of ways that you can respond. And if the band are going to come up, the offering's going to be in a few moments' time as well. And John's going to get up before that. But just to remind you, I guess, firstly, we need to be challenged on our thinking. And You know, I'm not going to get you to put your hands up and kind of say, oh, that's me today. But each of us can fall into that really easy habit of being judgmental, of not caring, of not being compassionate. So as we are reminded again through those scriptures, let's make sure that we are compassionate people, that our heart is right. Another way to get involved today is to get involved. This is not a kind of ministry that your church does it on the side. This is a whole church ministry. All the work that you do through your food bank, through MANA, through CAP and other projects, these are opportunities for you to get involved, whether once off or volunteer on a regular basis. And at the back, just outside at the stand, you can pick up a form and see the countless ways that you can get involved. Deirdre's already mentioned volunteers at the Job Club with Dan and Brian as well on the visits. So please consider how you might get involved. Dan mentioned very briefly as well that in his prayers about funding, and for a number of years you guys have been centrally funded through both Presbytery and other funds, and that's been pretty amazing. This year going forward, these guys are kind of seeking new funds and fully believing that they will come in. But if you might like to get involved and support the work here in Carnmoney locally, come and speak to Dan or Brian or Deirdre or John. I don't know what that will look like, but just come and speak to them if God places that on your heart today. And finally, and probably most importantly, is prayer. We can all pray for this work.